Welcome to this Friday, May 28th, 2021. We're coming off two games last night with identical scores, 4-3. But if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs, not too happy. Travel day back to Montreal. And if you're a Carolina fan, you're ecstatic. That 4-3 score closes out the Nashville Predators. Joining me now, first of all, we've got Jordan back in the loop. Took a little bit of time off, but he is now steering the ship today on the Real Kipper at Noon show. So we welcome back Jordan. And after kind of a rough Wednesday show, although the numbers spoke well in terms of how many of you watched our Wednesday show, I wasn't really too happy with it. Doug McLean out of a lobby of the Renaissance. Not today. You know what we do today? We get him into that spectacular RV, and we get the Real Kipper at Noon show going. Mac, welcome back to you to your RV. Like any other show in the playoffs, I'm going to start it out the same way. Where the hell are you?
Today in Sunbury, Ohio, which is about 30 miles outside of Columbus, and I'm at Shadow Lake Farm in Sunbury, and we're here got a couple of horses here, so we're just a couple of, well, actually one foal here, and there's another foal in Cincinnati. So Jill's just watching them train the foal today, and I'll go in after this show's over and watch the back end where they're starting to break the foal, so getting them ready for the equestrian jump. So it's really exciting. I'm going to have another horse.
So like you're right in the middle of horses around you. Can we hear one?
If you open the door of the RV, you can hear them. There's probably 30 horses here. So it's friends of ours have this horse farm. We've always kept our horses here for the last probably 20 years. So it's a great setup.
Give us your best horse impression.
Nay. No. The horse impression is dollars.
Dollars.
As I said to Jill, is it fair that we pay more for the horses board than I pay for my condo in Toronto? Is that fair? Is that really fair to me?
It costs you money when they sleep, for God's sakes.
She used to say, do you have to pay that much for a condo in Toronto? And I said, well, honey, it's $400 less than you're paying a month for the horses board. But they get oats.
Well, we got two series to discuss today, Mac, and we'll get into the Toronto and Montreal one. But I want to start with Carolina closing out Nashville. Good on Nashville, but speaking of horses, I got to think David Poile's got a pretty long face today.
Well, look, it's been a disastrous year for Nashville where, you know, midway through the season, they were a disaster with Duchesne struggling, Johansson struggling, all kinds of talk of Ekholm being traded. It was on and on and on what was going on in Nashville. Then they get it together late in the season and get in the playoffs. Saros really, really has been a stalwart for them. I mean, this guy was exceptional. So they make it. And everything, you know, at least they battled in the first round. Carolina, to me, is a better team. But Nashville put up a great fight. They really did. And Saros was a big part of that. Let's not kid ourselves.
A huge one.
Yeah.
A huge one. Mac, did Saros cover up still a lineup that just can't get it done? I look, Mac, and you know what scares me about Nashville the most? Is the fact that they pushed Carolina hard, but it wasn't led by Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchesne. Those guys are the two highest paid guys. It's kind of scary a little bit when you consider Saros is a great point, Mac, but I think he was so good that he really covered up a lineup that's not good enough. I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. A forward group that isn't good enough because we know they're still led on that blue line with Yossi, Ellis, and Ekholm. But what I worry about, Mac, is I watch Nashville, and they're not led necessarily by Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchesne, who are their two highest paid players who still have 4 and 5 years respectively at $8 million. These guys are barely playing 15 minutes a night here, Mac. How does David Poile move this needle when your go-to guys, your two highest paid guys, aren't leading the way?
Well, look, it starts with the desire. David Poile has always had a history of wanting to make the big trades. And it started with the Johansson trade. I mean, when you trade Johansson for, you know, the big horse on the back end, Jones, and it has been a disastrous trade for them. And I know they had an overabundance of defensemen when they moved Seth Jones, but it still has not worked out. Johansson has not been the guy he was supposed to be from being a 30-goal scorer in Columbus. Looked like, I remember when we were there for the All-Star game in Columbus, Nick, a number of years ago, he looked like he was going to become a superstar, this guy, in the league. 30 goals, big horse down the middle. Everybody dreamt of having that type of guy. It hasn't worked out. Duchesne contract has not worked out. He's lucky he was able to get rid of the tourist deal. So it's been a combination of bad contracts and bad deals, and it hasn't helped when your top guys are perceived as way overpaid and paid too much of a price to acquire, in particular, Johansson. So it hasn't been good. It hasn't been good for David Poile. And, you know, you go back and you think of the Weber deal for Subban and on, it has not worked out well for David on a number of fronts, not to mention coaching changes.
You could open up your door and get a bigger, stronger horse than Ryan Johansson right now in your parking lot.
I mean, I don't know what has happened to this guy, but, you know, eighth overall pick of the Columbus Blue Jackets and looked like he was going to be a player, but it's just not. It just hasn't happened for whatever reason. Is it head? Is it motivation? Is it, you know, what is it that's caused this? And then, you know, Duchesne, you know, some people think he's more interested in country music than he is in playing hockey. So it's not pretty. It's not pretty there right now for me. And although full marks, Saros made them look like they are a competitive group, and they did. It was a battle. It was a battle this series. This was not. I didn't perceive this series as being a tough one for Carolina, and it was a tough one for Carolina to win it.
And they at times, Mac, struggled with some consistency in their game. There were lulls, but this roster is so deep on Carolina that it just found a way. I'm watching Doug Hamilton, Mac, and I cannot believe that that's the same guy that left the Boston Bruins, that was playing in Calgary, and now you watch him, games on the line. What a spectacular play to come off the blue line and score the game-tying goal. That goal, to me, was a big-time play by a big-time player.
Well, you think back to the Kessel deal, and you think of, you know, what Boston Bruins got in that deal. And all of a sudden, Hamilton has moved. Why? Moved to Calgary. Moved a star in Calgary. Moved from Calgary. Now, again, he's an unrestricted free agent for, obviously, the first time in his career. And where will he end up? This guy has been nothing short of spectacular for the last couple of years. And he has been good every place he's been, but for whatever reason,
well, we know the reasons.
Wanted to move him.
Mac, we talked about it. The perception was that he was a bit of an oddball in Calgary.
Right. A very intelligent kid who at times hasn't fit in. Well, I'll tell you what, I don't know how he's fitting in Carolina. And if I'm the manager of the Carolina Hurricanes or the head coach of the Carolina Hurricanes, I don't care. All I know is what he does on the ice, and he's damn good. And where does he go this summer? Who is going to, are they going to be able to re-sign him? I don't know. But whoever gets him is going to get a hell of a player in the prime of his career.
This one's going to get trickier as Carolina advances. Mac, the last I had heard on his contract situation in Carolina is that they weren't budging much past $7.5 million per year for Hamilton. That's the
they're gonna have their hands owner would like. Then the owner may have to move unless he doesn't care, and then he's got Jake Gardner to back him up next year. Good luck on that one.
Or, I don't think it's going to be hard.
Or Shea, you know, Shea is there too.
It won't be very hard for Dougie Hamilton to improve that $7.5 million
on the free market.
On the free market.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And overtime goal, Sebastian Aho on a just the maybe one of the sweetest redirects that you'll ever see in a hockey game off of a Slavin shot.
But what about this? Aho wins the draw. McGinn makes the play to push it. It looked like he pushed it back to the point. How many key goals did McGinn score in this playoff series? I mean, this is a guy that's not perceived as a goal scorer, but a hard-nosed battler. And he makes, again, another big play on a goal. And Aho, who, you know, we remember Montreal making the offer sheet on him. We're thinking, wow, that's a pretty big offer. But this guy's a hell of a player. He is a hell of a player. And they had some lesser guys. The guy that starts with N, what the hell's his name? He made some big plays in this series, too.
Natchez.
Natchez. Yeah, Natchez. Yeah, okay. Household name.
I look at Mac, and you just mentioned it, but I look at Fogle, McGinn, and Martinook.
Yeah.
And those are terrific foot soldiers for Rod Brind'Amour. And when you think about now going up against the Tampa Bay Lightning, those guys can go head-to-head, I think, with the Colemans of the world and the Goudreaux's.
Yeah, and that's going to be look, the skill is going to be a big part of this next series. I'm excited to watch this series. Tampa were in and out in the Florida series. They were hot and cold. They're going to have to play a lot better than they did against them. And the Panthers full marks, but to me, Tampa were in and out in that last series. Hot and cold. They can't afford to be against Carolina. They got foot soldiers, they've got talent. And I'll tell you what, Nick, what about the goaltending? This kid,
Nedeljkovic,
as a rookie, was outstanding. I mean, he had to be as good as Saros to keep this series going. And for a rookie, we've always questioned Carolina's goaltending. Mrazek, most people didn't think he could ever get it done. Reimer, a good backup. But this kid has come in as a rookie, and he was, I don't know if he's MVP of the series, but he was right there, Nick. He was that good at times with key saves after key saves.
We do, though, Mac, give Tampa Bay the edge here, right? With Vasilevsky, you have to.
Vasilevsky is a superstar goaltender, without a doubt, but he wasn't great in the Florida series. I mean, they're lucky that the Panthers had to go through three goaltenders. They had to go through three goaltenders, and Vasilevsky got the job done. I think Vasilevsky is going to get better as the playoffs go on. So we will see. It's a good matchup, but Tampa lead on that one. Tampa is lead this on the back end, too. They've got a better, deeper back end. Savard's been a little bit in and out. He's got to be a lot better to shut down some big guys and the speed of this team. McDonough's got to be better. Hedman, you know what he brings. Sergachev, I mean, that's a hell of a blue line. Chernak, I mean, it's a hell of a blue line on Tampa Bay, and I think they can be a lot better than they were against Florida.
Is this going to end up being defense versus offense? When you think about Jordan Staal and Trocheck, is this going to be about them shutting down points and the Kucherovs and the Stamkos? Are they going to have to find a way to keep these guys three goals and under?
Well, I think they can. I think they can handle it 5-on-5. I think they can deal with it 5-on-5. But I don't think you can shut with Stamkos if he is as healthy as he's played. Kucherov's healthy. Point is just, I mean, like, how does this guy not get mentioned as one of the top players in the game every day of the week? What he did in that
Tampa Bay market, Mac.
I know, it's unbelievable. And salary-wise, but I'll tell you what, they might be able to handle them 5-on-5, Carolina, but how do they shut down this Tampa Bay power play with the big horse in Hedman? And I mean, those guys up front, I mean, you got the weapon of Kucherov on one side. We talked about the right-hand shot power play in Montreal and the challenges they've had. What about this? You got the weapon of Kucherov. You got the weapon of Stamkos. You've got Point, and you've got Hedman on the point. I mean, how do you handle and contain that power play? That's going to be the test for me.
And the way the officials call the game and who leads, who tries to be the aggressor here, who retaliates, all of that will come in play. Not getting the power plays that we see during the regular season, that's a given this time of year. But you're right, Mac, even one or two opportunities will be enough for the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to behind the bench, Mac, one guy has a Stanley Cup as a head coach. The other one's looking for one. But you just got to wonder from, again, an emotional point of view, how much Carolina gets out of Rod Brind'Amour. And
look, to me, it was – I thought it was spectacular. I mean, and it talks about who Brind'Amour is, what he's always been. I mean, I remember this kid playing junior hockey, and I remember him when he was in Alberta, Notre Dame. I mean, this guy has always been just a battling grinder star, whether he was in St. Louis, whether he's in Philly, whether he's in Carolina. He was always perceived as one of the hardest working guys. The players love him. The coaching in this series, Cooper with a Stanley Cup, Brind'Amour with a Stanley Cup as a player, to me, it's a saw-off here. Cooper's got the reputation. Moore's a hell of a coach. I might even give an edge to Carolina from a coaching perspective in this series. That's not a shot at Cooper.
No.
But I like Brind'Amour that much.
No, and I only say that because there just seems to be a bigger range here where Brind'Amour can go rallying his troops and getting him motivated, and Cooper does not have that ability. He doesn't have that emotional card to play like Brind'Amour. And at the end of the day, maybe he might not need it. Maybe Cooper may not need that.
He may not. But I'll tell you what, Brind'Amour will make Carolina be competitive in this series. Cooper's got He's got a better team. Nobody can deny that they are a better team. But there's some pretty important intangibles with this Carolina team. It starts with Brind'Amour, and you mentioned it goes to Hamilton, it goes to Aho, it goes to some of the kids, it goes to the kid in goal. They won't be easy. We saw that against Washington Capitals a couple of years ago, how good they can be. So, look, I think it's going to be a hell of a series.
That it will be. Okay, from a 4-3 score closing out a series for Carolina to a 4-3 score that does not get it done for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
That's unbelievable.
Where's your first thought here? Montreal did it with character, or the Leafs gave it away. They blew it. Mac, they could not do the thing that you need to be successful the most in this playoffs, and that is close out series.
I was with a great friend of mine, Terry Fairholm, in Columbus. We've been friends for 20 years. And I was at his house last night, and he has some great wine. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to have a great night. We had a nice barbecue, a nice bottle of Silver Oak. And I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be a spectacular night. And this goddamn game, I had to put the wine away because I had to focus on this damn game because I expected Montreal to get blown out and Toronto to finish the series. And it ruined my damn night. So I got up this morning, I felt like $1 million, and I said to Terry, God, Terry, we're so mature. We put the wine away. We focused on the game. It was great, you know.
How every Montreal Canadian fan feels the same way. Fucked up the Leafs. We and their fans and their celebration. We're going to game six.
This morning, the media are saying the Leafs have got to get back to what's made them successful. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, Montreal didn't touch the puck for 30 minutes at the end of the last 30 minutes of the game. Did Montreal touch the puck? But the big boys, the Marner, Matthews, Hyman.
They're like anything else, especially with the social media, the finger gets pointed to them first. And now Matthews is looking human.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, when you make $11 million and you want the big salary, it doesn't matter if you're a kid or you're a veteran, you pay the price. And look, he's a tough guy to defend. He raised his game last week when they needed him to after being down 1-0. He went to another level. I didn't see it last night. As good as he is, as good as he was, I didn't see enough of him last night. I didn't see enough of Austin Matthews dominating. I know Price was spectacular. I didn't see enough of Marner dominating. I saw Nylander dominate a lot of shifts and play really well. I saw Hyman do what he does, but I didn't see enough out of Marner and Matthews in the way they can and are capable of dominating. But Montreal still have got it. I know they got the lead, but they've got to be better as a team. Oh, my God, they played bad at times last night.
And they were able to get the early lead on a couple of loose pucks that they got a fortunate bounce here and there. It wasn't like you're really comfortable that Montreal got their offense going here.
No, but you know what it was to me, which was a really positive sign. It you get Perry setting the tone. You know, you've got some grind. Armia, I mean, they set the tone as a group. That how on the bench can you not get motivated when you see those veteran guys, Stahl, Perry, you know, Armia make some plays like that? I thought it should have been more of an inspiration for them, but they have a hard time moving the puck out of their own zone. They have a hard time being any more than one and done through the neutral zone, and they don't get anything off the cycle. I mean, but they got a 3-0 lead, like you said, and I'll tell you what, it should have been over. The Leafs should have won it in the third, but the talent of Caulfield and Suzuki came through. It did. It was a talented play. I know it was a 2-0 because of Galchenyuk, but you know what? It was still a hell of a talent play on that 2-0. How many 2-0s do we see get snuffed out and busted because guys try to do too much on them and try to be too cute?
How about the poise that the kid showed to go in there and not make up his mind in terms of deciding he was going to be the shooter or not?
He made
two passes on a reputation for being a pure shooter.
100%. You hit the nail on the head. His whole reputation has been he's the shooter. He is a shooter. He is a pure goal scorer. And I guarantee you, Campbell's thinking, look who it is coming. Caulfield's a shooter. Suzuki, yes. But I thought it was an unbelievable. This kid has come in with lots of questions as to whether he should be in the lineup. I don't know. Has he been their best forward a lot of nights? Has he created more than most? I'd be getting him out there more.
Where is the biggest concern for the Leaf fans right now, besides missing an opportunity to close out a series here? Is it still a power play that cannot close? Or for me, Mac, it's the up and down with the Leaf blue line and how a young player like Sandin can be at times looking like the best defenseman you have and in the future, to last night where Sheldon had to pull all his minutes off the table here and go back to Morgan Rielly yet again.
You know, first of all, you got the price concern. You got the price concern. He made 7 or 8 saves last night that were 10 bellers, Nick. I mean, Price.
And you spotted him a 3-0 lead.
That's right. And so Price is still your number one concern if you're a Leaf fan player right now, because he is playing as well as we've seen him play in a while. A couple of goals, you know, but he was screened. The one got deflected. I didn't like the last one, even though it was deflected, but that's fine. He still was unbelievable for me. So that's the one thing. The Leafs, that the depth on their blue line to me is still an issue. We've talked about it. We said going into the trade deadline, they should maybe look at a defenseman for depth. I don't mean a Hutton. I mean a real defenseman. And now it's changing in and out. So that's it. Matthews Mariners is a bit of a concern. Are they going to come and be the superstars and win the game for them? They're capable of doing that, but we don't know. And with Montreal, the power play is god awful. I mean, it's scary bad. And the way they move the puck, if you can't get the puck going out of your own zone, you can't play in today's game. And they are having a horrendous time getting the puck through the zone and getting it deep and working off the cycle. I haven't seen enough of that. So to me, the Leafs, if this goes seven, the Leafs have got to win this series. Like, give me a break. But hey, pressure. We'll see how they react to it.
Pretty incredible to see John Tavares and the sightings off that horrific knee to the head, Mac. He's already been on the ice. He attended the game last night. And now I'm told he wants to play.
Nobody has ever questioned Don Tavares' love of the game and his compete and his whole team from when he was with the Islanders to now. Lots of people have questioned his foot speed, but he's made up for it because he's so damn smart. And character, he wants to play. You just watching him in the press box, it was gratifying to see him there, healthy, and great to see him on the ice.
Well,
that's another concern, Nick. Let me finish on this front.
Yeah.
That's still a concern. That is your second line.
Yeah.
Harris, Foligno, how Nylander has done as well as he's done without his two key guys he should have had with him is a great story.
Well, he could be getting back Tavares a lot sooner than people anticipated, Mac. I'm told that he could be in a position to be a game time decision on a game seven.
That shocks me.
And should be good to go advancing if they do Saturday night for Winnipeg.
Well, that's great news. And as you know, as an insider, as you are, you're never wrong.
Well,
very often.
The only question is, if you were Mac, the president, Brendan Shanahan or Kyle Dubas, how quickly would you want him back in? Where would you be reassured that he's good to go? If anything was to happen, you know, the finger would be pointed to the Leafs very quickly on bringing him back too soon. But what do you do in that scenario if you think that he's telling you he's good to go? And medically, I think, you know, if the doctors say there's no signs of anything that's concerned us, would you put him in if Montreal extends this past six games?
You're putting him in if your medical team, number one, clears him, and number two, Tavares said he's good to go. But you're not putting him in. If there's any question by the medical team, any concern, there's always going to be a concern because it was a concussion, apparently, and what knee issue. But the knee minor, the concussion major. And unless they give you the full, unless the medical team absolutely clears him and Tavares says he's going, then you got to play him.
Yeah, there's also the concern of a knee sprain, albeit a mild one, but being back on the ice is a great sign for the knee injury as well. So,
and with the way he plays the game, with his head so much, I don't see it being, I think he'll come in and it'll be like he hasn't missed a beat. I really believe that.
Well, we'll keep an eye on that storyline, but that would be, I could see the pressure on the Leafs if somehow Montreal extends this to get John Tavares back for game seven.
Yeah, that would be an amazing story. But look, Montreal have got a lot of work to do and a lot of proving to me before they get to game seven. So there's a lot of things to clean up. But hey, it was that win gives you lots of energy. And I mean, it's amazing how the head. It puts some second thoughts into Leafs' heads, negativity, puts lots of positive vibes into Montreal's head. It's a major difference in a playoff series.
Let's just have some fun for all you Montreal Canadian fans out there with this next conversation here. what kind of pressure would be on the Leafs to come back to Toronto, albeit in an empty stadium, unlike maybe the 2,500 we'll see Saturday night in Montreal? What kind of pressure are we talking about on the Leafs if Montreal pulls this off Saturday night for Game 7?
Over the top. Over the top. And the pressure would be more on the Toronto media because they would be out of their minds. Players would be fine, but the Toronto media would be out of their minds. I don't know if they could cope with this. I don't know if they could cope with it because when they win a game, it's, oh my God, this is how they built this team. When they lose a game, this team was built as a disaster. It is hilarious reading this day to day. But anyway, the pressure will be over the top.
We're with the Leafs, win or tie all the way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but look, Montreal, look, it was fun to see the series extend because we liked watching Montreal and Toronto play. But, I mean, there was times watching that game in the third period, I'm thinking, like, Montreal, like, what the hell is going on? Come on, compete. Come on, play. But, you know.
What about?
To come back and win it, full marks.
What about Ducharme and getting this offense going? And you watch your young players like Suzuki and Caulfield close this thing out. What do you do, Mac, if you're Ducharme now, trying to get Toffoli going and Gallagher going?
And Anderson, to me, looked pretty strong last night. He looks like he's got it going pretty good. Toffoli, the feet, you know, it's fast. It's high-paced. And Toffoli's a smart 200-foot guy, but he needs a little more – he needs a little more foot speed going right now, a little more confidence going. So, you know what? Where they need them is the power play, Nick. They need Gallagher.
Mac, you know how I feel about...
They need them on the power play.
Again, Mac, I'm watching this and I'm seeing how many times the back is, you know, turned the wrong way. Five right-handed shots out there. Too many, Mac. There just doesn't seem to be any threat. And I don't know if it's Tatar starting power plays is the answer, but so many guys constantly handcuffed.
If we're seeing it, you know they're seeing it. And their philosophy is, how do I go away from this talent and the drop-off in talent when I go in another direction? Well, you know what? You may have to try it because it ain't working. I mean, I don't know, what is it, 0-14 at this point? Or is it worse than that? It's an offer. So that is that again. But you know what? I think if I'm coaching the Montreal Canadiens, my focus is getting the puck out of our zone smoothly and being able to create some speed through the neutral zone. I know the power play, but I'm more worried about moving the puck fluently through out of the defensive zone and into the neutral zone and getting the puck deep on the Leafs blue line. That's my whole focus. And I'll say the power play to the power play guy, you deal with that shit. But they got to get their 5-on-5 game better than what it was if they're going to extend this series.
All right. So if we've got the Leafs at a DEFCON level of say 3, where is the level for Vegas Golden Knights going into tonight's game against Minnesota in terms of pressure?
You know what? I love to pull up the show when we talked about this series, and we really focused on how good a blue line the Minnesota Wild had. I've had scouts in the business tell me they're one of the best blue lines in the NHL, and I'll tell you what, they played that way. But we didn't talk about Talbot. If we did, we were saying, can he get it done? And we like Kaprizov, and then all of a sudden, there's been some guys play really well. So if you're Vegas, first of all, they're not scared of Vegas. They're not intimidated by Vegas physically. So they haven't been all year. They haven't been all year. They've loved playing against the Vegas Golden Knights this year. So if you're Vegas, you're nervous. You're nervous. This is a disaster if they lose this series for McCrimmon, McPhee, and DeBoer, because Ole will not be happy.
5-1-2 versus Mini Mac, and it's they're short sample sizes, but all of a sudden now Vegas is a team that blows 3-1 leads. They're teams that have found a way to lose because the offense has been shut down, and we saw that offense barely get by Vancouver in the bubble and then disappear against the Dallas Stars in five games. And we're seeing a trend here, especially Talbot coming off the shutout. And you're right, it's the defense that are either blocking shots or opening lanes so Talbot can see everything.
I know.
Vegas is awfully nervous, and Pacioretty has been nowhere to be found and doesn't appear to be able to come in and save the day here with the offense.
And if Stone doesn't get it done for them, if Stone isn't a superstar and one of the most valuable players in the game, if he doesn't get it done, that's, and you talked about it, it's not there right now. I mean, Riley Smith, Tuck. I mean, these are good players. Carlson, you know, Marchessault. These guys have got to show up. And then it comes back, can Fleury steal a game and win a game for them? Well, we know Fleury can. Where's Leonard?
Mac, when you think about this team and how it's built and how many big names they were able to add and the challenges of the salary cap, how would you like to have a meeting with Bill Foley on the weekend losing to Minnesota?
I bet you the name Pietrangelo would come up. I bet you the name Fleury Leonard will come up as to what we did there, what we really did there by bringing this guy in, and what Fleury's had to battle through. It would not be a pleasant conversation. It would not be. And you know what? Most meetings with owners are really, really tough. I remember poor Mr. McConnell, late in my time in Columbus, I used to go to meetings at his golf course with him, and it would really be a tense time. And we'd get through the appetizer, and then Mr. Mack would fall asleep. And then... And the manager would come over and say, "What?" I said, "Well, I mean, I'm having a meeting, but he fell asleep." Finally, I just go home.
You think there's
are hoping Mr. Foley falls asleep, but I got a funny feeling he won't. And poor Mr. Mack, who was a wonderful guy, you know, he was in his 80s and he wasn't healthy, and you know, but Mr. Foley will be ready for that meeting.
This might not be a fair topic to bring up, because of the full disclosure of your relationship with Gerard Gallant. But, you know, Peter DeBoer, you know, we talk about the changes and you mentioned them, Leonard and Pietrangelo, and the decision for Pacioretty to come in and get a new contract. But the decision, Mac, was Gerard didn't know how to win the big game and... Yep. Couldn't make the adjustments that they wanted in the playoffs. So they went out and got that guy. And that is Peter DeBoer, who's got a pretty impeccable record in game sevens. And I just wonder now, maybe the pressure. And Pete's played it correctly, and he's saying all the right things. But that's another one that they would have to answer to. And where is our edge right now in this game seven? Vegas needs this win real bad. They need it a lot more than Minnesota would need it, because Minnesota from here on in is playing with house money.
Really bothered me when those comments sort of leaked out around the league that, you know, Gerard couldn't make the adjustments. Gerard can make every adjustment and as many as Peter DeBoer can make. I guarantee you that. So it was a bunch of bullshit to begin with. Okay. I don't know what happened, what it was, And maybe that was what they perceived, that Kelly McCrimmon, who's like, what, in his second or third year in the league, is capable of making that decision. And I like Kelly McCrimmon, but come on. George McPhee, he doesn't have a great coaching background that I know of. So where did this bullshit come from? Okay. Anyway, doesn't matter. George's going to get another job, and Peter DeBoer better win this series. This is a big series for Peter DeBoer. This is a big series for Kelly McCrimmon and George McPhee. This is a real big series. And it's not so much Stone, Petrangelo, yeah. But for those guys I just talked about, who I happen to really like them as guys, this is a big, big series for DeBoer, McCrimmon, and McPhee.
See, this is what I love about you. I know I'm kind of leading you into a touchy situation. And you don't disappoint. You do not disappoint. You bring it. You tell us how you honestly feel. Bullshit. Is all the band could play.
My give a shit factor is fairly low right now.
Well, it's going to be a fantastic game, Mac. And that one goes.
Yeah, and look, that Vegas, one... hey, Vegas have look, George, and they've done a great job. But this is such an important series for this team. As you said, after San Jose a couple of years ago losing, after losing to Dallas, almost losing to Vancouver, they can't lose this series. They can't. And I sense they'll probably win the game and move on.
9 p.m. Eastern, our only game 7.
Is it 9 p.m.?
9 p.m. Eastern. You might have to press play and record at the same time on your VCR and watch it maybe tomorrow if you get back into the wine.
I know. And then Monday, I'm going to be in the mountains Monday, so I'm just nervous about whether I'll be available. But I'm
We might give you. But, you know, yeah, Mac, yeah. The beauty is, you know, we've set up this show where when you're not here, we find people better.
But I find your replacements that we lose the, what's it called, the momentum when you do the replacement. It's like the NFL when they put the replacement players in. It's the momentum drops a touch, you know. But maybe, anyway, we'll play it by ear.
So what are you hearing out of Columbus, another your favorite, where you have no emotional investment?
Here's what's going on in Columbus.
Yeah.
Year 20 of the franchise has just been completed, and I'm still being blamed for it. I've been gone 12 years, but I'm still being blamed for the problems, according to a couple of clowns that write in the media here.
They're still trying to correct the damage that you caused.
Yes, I guess so. Oh, my God.
The understanding is that Rick Tocchet interviewed with Buffalo yesterday, I think, and will interview with Columbus today.
Busy.
Yes. Where's your source in Columbus to let you know that they got Rick Tocchet coming in?
As you know, my source in Columbus only tells me things that don't involve the Columbus Blue Jackets because he's scared to death.
Well, you got JD back there. Would that make your source even that much more nervous?
JD's a savior. I love it. JD couldn't get to New York fast enough. He had the fastest jet they could find to get him to New York. He takes Panarin with him, and now he's back, and he's just saying he just absolutely loves Columbus, and he's excited to be back. And JD's a great friend, and I'm glad he's excited to be back in Columbus.
5 teams need coaches, Mac. My count, I think Seattle, Columbus, Buffalo, Arizona, and the Rangers here. Who bites first? Who gets in? Who signs a coach?
To me, Buffalo need to make a big, big call here. Does Quinn end up going there? Does Quinn end up coming to Columbus because of the JD connection? Quinn's a guy that's going to me, will get a job. Jouard, obviously Jouard's the leading candidate in New York. If that happens, Tockett's going to be a great catch for me. If, I mean, Buffalo could use a talk at Columbus. Could
Does that surprise you, Mac, that they'd go down? Buffalo would interview Rick Tocchet?
No, it shouldn't surprise me because, I mean, I said it to some people in Buffalo. The number one thing Kevin Adams has got to do that can help a lot of his problems is hire the right coach. Because if he hires the right coach, a lot of his problems will go away. If he hires the wrong coach, it's going to be a shit show there again. So hiring the right coach is Kevin Adams' number one. I don't know if he knows that, but I'm telling him right now, that's his number one thing, hire the right coach. And a lot of his problems will go away.
Well, it sure's quieted down in terms of all that noise with Eichel and the Buffalo Sabres. That alone has to be a good thing.
Well, yeah, you hope so. I mean, I just think a top coach can, and not forever, but for a short period of time, calm the waters. And Columbus need the right guy because of Line A and because of Jones and because of Werenski and because of Korpisalo and Merzlikin's contracts expiring. They need the right guy there. Buffalo, with the disaster they have, with the Eichel problem, they need the right guy there. And a lot of guys that want out in Ruotsalainen and, you know, Reinhardt. So hiring the right coach has got to be is a big, big thing. And I know it doesn't last a long time, but at first it can change a team quickly.
All right, Mac, on this Friday, any other hot button topics, anything that's, you know, driving you nuts? I know you're in the middle of a cow pasture somewhere middle America here, surrounded by a horse. And hey, don't stick your head out the window. We don't want people to think your RV is a cattle truck.
The only thing that's eating away at me right now is I would like to be in having a look at this foal, and I'm talking to you about goddamn coaches.
Yeah, let's close it up. Go check on the horse. See a man about a horse. Am I right?
Hey, did you get the American Express bill in yet from the damage Jill caused you?
Like, she bought an amazing mat for the outside so I can have my cigar with my lawn chair. You know, I bought a very nice mat and an adjustable broom. So she went crazy.
You should be so lucky that that's it.
I should have wore a cowboy hat today. Jesus.
Did you purchase one? Have you found one?
No, but there's a bunch of them in the barn I could have got. Yeah, I should have had one for the show. Sorry.
Send us a selfie.
Props.
Yes. Send us a selfie. Okay, we're going to let you go. Great effort today. Fantastic.
Thanks, guys.
You brought it. Love the passion around the Vegas Golden Knights, Minnesota Wild topic of conversation. Give us a final score tonight, Mac, in Minnesota, and then give us a final score Saturday night because we're not gonna hunt you down till next Monday.
4-3 Vegas. By the way, I did pick the Islanders, didn't I? Yeah. Okay. 4-3 Vegas, and I'm gonna say 4-2 Toronto.
All right, so the Leafs close it out in game 6.
I hope I'm wrong in that one because I'd love to see a game 7. That I'm cheering against the Leafs, but I'd like to see. I mean, game 7s are what it's all about this time of year, right?
I wanted to do this today, but we're going to wait till early next week. But your homework assignment on the weekend is to help our good buddy Brian Burke.
Yeah, we have to get into that.
We gotta help him fix.
Well, I just saw that he learned how to recently tie a tie, so that's a start. Now if he can fix his goaltending, that'll be the next thing.
All right,
I think I'll leave that to Hexie.
We'll figure that out for Monday. But really appreciate your whole week, Mac. You brought it all week. I love you in the RV. We may keep it full time. You may just have to do all shows out of the RV. It's just the energy that you have in there. I don't know what it is. Is it the inflatable mattress? You know, whatever it is, it's working.
We probably should sell the place in PEI and the place in Florida and just live in it year round. I've said that to Jill. She said 9 days has been long. She told me last night. So we're in our 10th day on the road here. We got 3 weeks before we get to PEI. So we got another We got two more weeks, man.
You're a regular nomad, my man. You're out there hunting, gathering, smoking cigars.
That's unbelievable.
We're not topping that.
I've got my two humidors up top there. I got, I think, 90 Monte Cristos. Oh my God.
All right. Go have a
it's
smoke.
Great to be retired.
Doug McLean, everybody, from God knows where on the Real Kipper at Noon show. Thanks, Mac.
Hey, man.
All right, Doug McLean, Jordan, great effort. Welcome back, by the way. I know you took some time off, family time, awesome. But hope you're geared up for a great finish to a Stanley Cup playoff run, and it's off to a great start. So we really appreciate you having you coming back, Jordan. Hope everybody enjoyed the show. First-time watcher, subscribe. Give us the comments. What do you think about Vegas? Are they going to get this thing done? Let us know, and we'll revisit it on Monday. For Nick Kyprios, Doug McLean, Jordan, Joe, thanks for watching The Real Kipper at Noon show. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you on Monday.